We turn in God's Word this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11, the text this morning will be verses 18 through 21. We'll read the first 25 verses of the chapter. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments, always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and unto all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until ye came into this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab and the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their households and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. And therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, in thy wine, in thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text this morning is verses 18 through 21. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. This word of God that we consider this morning was written to encourage parents. It was written to encourage parents in the high calling that God has given to them to teach and instruct their children. That comes out in the very setting in which these words were spoken by Moses to the people of Israel. The setting here is that Moses is speaking to about 2 million Israelites at the Jordan River before they entered into the promised land of Canaan. Moses had led them through the wilderness for 40 years. He had been the one to lead them out of the land of Egypt, where they had been in bondage for about 400 years. Now, after going through the wilderness, they're ready to enter into the land of Canaan. But Moses, of course, would not be the man to lead them into Canaan, because in his frustration with the sinful and rebellious people of God, he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. So Joshua would be the one to lead them into the promised land. But before they go into the land, and before Moses dies, and before Joshua takes the reins of leadership, Moses speaks one final time to the people of Israel, giving to them final instructions. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is. The final instructions of Moses as the servant of God to God's people. And basically what he reminds them of is found in a nutshell right in the chapter that we read this morning. He reminds the people of Israel of the great and mighty things that Jehovah had done in delivering them out of the land of Egypt and caring for them and preserving them in the wilderness. Then Moses calls them to obedience. He reminds them how they are to live in the promised land of Canaan. But there's one other thing that comes up time and time again in the book of Deuteronomy, and is an important theme of the book. Moses calls the parents of Israel to teach their children. That's something that comes up in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4 verse 9. Where he says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." And then in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, a passage very similar to the one that we look at this morning. In verse 7, Moses says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up." And this comes out in other passages as well in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses reminds the people of Israel, teach your children. He reminds them because when they enter into the promised land of Canaan, there's going to be much work that they do. They're going to be busy. Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but yet they're going to have to be busy in the fields. Even though many of the cities of the land were already built, yet they have to go in and they have to fight. There's going to be much warfare in the years to come. Not only that, but they're going to have to work in their homes and build more in the cities. And eventually they're going to build palaces and they're going to build the temple. And there's much work to be done in this promised land that God had given to them. But Moses says to them, in all of that work you're busy with, don't forget this. Don't forget to teach your children about the mighty acts of God, and of His faithfulness, and of His love, and His mercy. And so we need to hear that same instruction today, so that this truth lives in our hearts. Moses had a burning passion for the generations to come within the church, and may that be passed on to us by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, so that we have the same desire for the generations to come, that they would be taught in the ways of God. And the passage that we consider this morning, as this is the Word of God encouraging parents, encourages parents in the full-time calling that God has given to them. That doesn't mean there aren't other callings and that there's not other work to be done. But the passage makes clear that the work of teaching and instructing children is a full-time work. How different that is from the world in which we live today, where parents don't grasp that and they abandon their children. They let others rear their children. They view this calling as a part-time calling. They put it on and they take it off. And their children spend much time with other caregivers, maybe even more time with those caregivers than they do with their own parents. But we see from this Word of God that parenting is not a job with specific hours. It's not something that you punch in and punch out of. It's a divine calling that is a full-time calling and that requires of us as parents a full-time commitment. That's really part of the vow that we take as parents in that third question in the baptism form, where we promise that we will teach our children, that we promise and intend to see these children come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of our power. It's really following the biblical instruction of full-time work. So that's what we consider this morning. Called to full-time covenant parenting. We look first this morning at the high calling. Secondly, at the necessary tool that God has given to us, and that's the Word of God. That's also a focus here of the passage. And then finally, in verse 21, we see the great blessing when that is carried out in obedience to God's command. Question for us this morning as we begin is this. What is covenant parenting? Well, covenant parenting, as I pointed out briefly, is much different from the parenting that's found in the world today. Our culture has reduced parenting to providing care. So that if parents provide food and clothing and shelter for their children and some quality time, they deem that their parenting was a success. If they spent that quality time, they gave to their children the things that they needed and gave to them more beyond that so that they could enjoy some things of this life, maybe taught them how to play some sports, impressed upon them the importance of worldly success so that they're successful in business. If those things were passed on, they would deem that they were a success in their parenting. They see parenting then as simply providing those things. That's become the essence of parenting today. But covenant Christian parenting is so much different. Although, of course, we as parents are called to provide the things that our children need, that's not the essence of what God calls us to as parents. But covenant parenting is this. It's teaching the Word of God and applying the doctrines of God's Word to the everyday affairs of the lives of our children. So it's teaching our children the Word of God, but also taking that Word and applying it to their lives and the things that they're facing in their lives so that they learn to think biblically. They learn to think the thoughts of God. That's our calling as parents. That's what's brought out in the text in verse 19. And you shall teach them your children. What's them? Well, it's the Word of God. Speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. From the time you get up in the morning until the time that you go to bed at night. This is the calling that you have as you're walking in your lives each day to bring the Word of God to your children in the circumstances that they face. That's the calling that Jesus Christ lays upon us. When we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to a place of service. When we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit works Christ's life within us, our Lord Jesus Christ assigns to each one of us a place in His kingdom for service. He assigns to us a particular calling in this life, a service, a noble duty as we sang. We're to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ, in the place where Jesus Christ has put us. Now when God gives to us children, He says to us that the place of service that we have, until our children leave the home, and even to a degree beyond that, we are to teach the children that He has given to us. That's our noble duty as parents. Now again, there are other callings that we have. Husbands, fathers have the calling to work and to provide the things that are needed of this earth. There are callings that husband and wife have. There are callings that we have within the church in serving the members of the church. But also, the Scripture says that there is a calling as well then for parents when God gives children to teach and instruct them. This is a labor of love, a labor of service. It's a self-sacrificial work to which God calls us. And that calling we have is to teach our children the Word of God. It's to help our children understand life and themselves and the things that they face from a biblical perspective. We are the agents of God, the instruments of God, to teach them about Him and to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach them about sin and how they are to respond when they do sin with humility by confessing their sins. We as parents are called to instruct our children so that by the grace of God they grow up to be godly young men and women. There's a goal that we have as parents, that these little children and these older children would grow up to love the Lord and to serve the Lord in the church. But our goal is even bigger than that. Remember, the people of Israel are standing here on the other side of the Jordan River, ready to enter into the promised land. And as Moses instructs the people to instruct their children, he does that in view of Canaan. And even you children know what Canaan is a picture of, don't you? A picture of heaven. So our parenting too, we have the goal of heaven. That by the grace of God, our children will be with us in heaven, to enjoy the life that there is with God for all those that belong to Him and Jesus Christ. So we are to teach our children with that goal in mind. But what the passage emphasizes then is that goal is kept in mind, is that this parenting is full-time work. It's a task that is 24/7. It's not something that you can schedule. There are no shifts when it comes to parenting. It goes on whenever your children are awake, and even beyond that as well, as when they're sleeping, you may take some time and should take some time to consider how to teach and instruct your children. That's the idea of the passage. Speaking of these things, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, from morning to evening, from the time they get up to the time they go to bed, and everything in between, we see the task of parenting that God has given to us as parents, helping them in all of that time to see things from a biblical perspective. We have to see that this is the essence of parenting, because it's easy for us as parents to think that we've done our duty if we are sending our children. There may be this concept of a sending phenomena, that if I send my children to church and I send them to catechism and I send them to the Christian school, I've done my noble duty as a parent or as parents. Those things are important. Those things, of course, ought to be done. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more. It involves so much more. This just barely scratches the surface of the calling that God has placed upon us. No, this is what takes place through the day when the kids are fighting, when they're arguing and mom has to intervene. This is what takes place in the mall and mom has the children with her, and maybe they're begging for things. Or they want to go in a certain store and the clothing in that store is not appropriate. These are opportunities to teach. This is what happens when son is playing ball with his father. Or they're working together in the yard or working on some project around the house. Instruction takes place in those moments at those times. It goes on throughout the day when we are with our children. And we have to see then that this is the full-time calling that God has given to us. Fathers have a responsibility in this. Fathers manage this instruction. They, of course, provide the physical things that are needed for the home. If you even go to our marriage form, and you look at what it says about the responsibility of the husband, the head of the home, the last thing that's listed there is that he provides for his home. That's an important part of his work. But there's more to it than that. He's involved in the instruction of his children. He makes sure that that instruction takes place. He makes sure his wife is doing that, but also he is personally involved in the discipline, in the teaching, making sure the children respect their mother, leading the family worship, teaching the catechism to the children. But also we recognize that when we see that this calling that we have as parents is full-time, that the lion's share of it falls upon mothers in the home. Let's understand this morning this calling to full-time parenting, and as mothers carry that out in the home, this is not just the ideal. This is not just something we shoot for. This is not just a good idea if it works out that way. But God has said in His Word, here in the text, this is the full-time calling of parents. And now, further on in the Scriptures, we see how that's broken down. Fathers have a calling in their oversight, in their leadership, and in their involvement. But mothers especially have a calling. This is God's Word. 1 Timothy 2, verse 15, points us to that. This is the important place, one of them, of women in the church and the work that they do. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And the childbearing there is not simply giving birth to children, but it involves everything of caring for the children and teaching the children, because it says continuing in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. It's calling women, mothers, to this important work of teaching and instructing children. That's Titus 2 as well. Verses 4 and 5, where the older, wiser women in the church are to teach the younger women in the church. What are they to teach? Well, this, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Notice the emphasis on loving husbands, loving children, and then being keepers at home. You see, this is not the calling of grandmothers. This is not the calling of other mothers. This is not the calling of others who may be caregivers. This is the calling of mothers in the home. And this calling is not something you put on and put off. Well, certainly there are breaks that you need and that you get as well. But it's not like a shift. It's not one day you're a mother and one day you're not. It's full-time service. It's the noble duty. The noble duty that Jesus Christ calls the mothers of the church to do. To give themselves self-sacrificially to this instruction. And that's not determined by finances. That's not determined by how much fulfillment that brings. It's not determined by any other thing. But it's determined by what God says in His Word. Are we convicted of that? Husbands and fathers, are you convicted of that? Mothers and wives, are you convicted that that is your noble duty and that this full-time work that God has given to you? We're going to develop that more coming up, but we have to see that this full-time parenting is the means that God uses in the line of generations. It's a vital and important means. It's a vital and important means because of our children and where the hearts of our children are at. We have to understand something about our children. About children who are truly covenant children, who are God's children. That may not be true of them all. But those who are, two things are true. First of all, these children have sinful natures.
They are sinners. Now, there's a second thing true of them too. Those who are God's children have the life of Jesus Christ within them. And they may have that even as young children, so that they receive the gift of faith. They have a desire to love the Lord and to serve the Lord in their lives. But along with that, they have these sinful natures against which they battle. And the Lord has determined to use us as parents to teach them about that battle that's going on within them. To teach them why it is that they fight. To teach them why it is that they desire certain things. And to teach them then that they are not to live following those sinful desires, but they are to live seeking the Lord and loving the Lord and serving the Lord in their lives. This is how God is pleased to work in the line of generations. God works in the line of generations. We know that beautiful covenant truth. Moses was pointing the people of Israel to that. See how God works in the line of generations. There the people stood as descendants of their parents who believed the promises of the Lord. And we know that this is the way in which God works here, their line of generations here this morning. Rejoicing in the goodness of God and these gifts of children and praying for them too, that they would love the Lord and grow up to fear Him in their lives. Yet knowing God's grace in the line of generations does not take away the calling and responsibility that we have. And no doubt part of why God does that is to magnify His own grace. To magnify Himself, because He uses sinful parents to teach sinful children, and yet they grow up to love the Lord and to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of His wonderful sovereign grace. Now let's see this morning. This is exactly why God has placed children in our care for this full-time work with the view to heaven, with the view to there being godly young men and women in the church, with a view to the wonderful work of God's grace in their lives. You see, that's exactly what our children need. They need constant guiding, especially when they are young. Because when they learn to talk, they lie. They speak bad words. They do foolish things. And that begins before their first birthday. We shouldn't be surprised at that because we know our own sinful natures and our children have them as well. And our calling as parents is to teach them how to respond to that. And the tool that God has given to us for this full-time calling is the Word of God. That's an emphasis certainly in the passage. Verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these My words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. So Moses is saying, you ought to live by the word. You ought to know this word. But now, going on, he says, and ye shall teach them your children. Verse 20, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. We are to teach our children the word of God. That's a calling that we have as parents, to teach our children about the holiness of God, to teach our children about His greatness, to teach our children about His sovereign rule in our lives, but also to teach our children about His love and His mercy and His grace, to teach them about Jesus Christ and what He has done in redeeming His people from their sins. We teach them that this is God's world, and that God is to be served in this world. We're also to teach our children about sin. We must teach them how destructive sin is. We must teach them what activities, what things they're thinking, what things they desire, and what actions they do, that they are sin, and this is why. We must teach them that God hates and that He punishes sin. We must teach them that they are to turn from sin. And that if they continue in the way of sin, that's the path of destruction. It's great danger to walk in the path of sin, but instead they are to walk in obedience before God. We teach them then to repent and to confess their sins and to turn from that sin.
And we teach our children then to live thankfully before God. As those who are redeemed, they are to walk in this certain way. They're to walk according to the laws and the commands of God. They're to live their lives as a living sacrifice to God. The aim of our instruction is not simply their outward lives, but the aim of our instruction is their hearts. That we would have children who would truly know and love the Lord. We don't want children who are legalists, who know the right thing to say and the right thing to do in front of others, but at the same time their hearts are far from God. Children sense that that's what we're teaching them. They work with what they're given. If that's what we're teaching them, that's what they're going to do as well. We don't want that. We don't want them to think that being a Christian is simply going to church, going to catechism, going to a Christian school, and then this Christianity is just an aspect or part of life, and there are other aspects or parts of life that have nothing to do with that. No, all of life is religion. We are to teach them that. Our children must be taught that the essence of the law is loving God with heart and mind and soul and strength. That the Christian life is godliness, living in the knowledge of God and living before the face of God in everything that they do. We must teach them to have the mind of Christ. That this is Christ and His love for us, and now we are to live in that same love with self-sacrifice. And that's what a mother teaches her children by being there and teaching her children. That's what a father teaches his children by being with his children and taking part in that instruction and caring for their needs. But now as we see that the tool that is to be used is the Word of God. Now we're to teach what the content of that Word. But a couple of specifics we must see concerning that this morning. When the text teaches us that we as parents are to teach our children with the Word, the text is calling us this morning to regular family worship. When the command comes to teach this Word, and that we are to do that daily, from the time they get up to the time they go to bed, part of that instruction is family worship. Good reminder for us this morning, why we have family worship. We often call it devotions. I believe a better term is family worship. Because as a family, we come together and we worship the Lord with His Word. And this family worship is the solid foundation of our homes. This family worship has a solid foundation in the church, in the life of the church, even in the Scriptures. What was the first thing that Noah did? After he and his family came out of the ark after the flood, he built an altar, and he and his family, yes, that was the church at that time, but also there was his family. He and his family worshiped God. What do we read that Job did in Job 1? That Job worshiped the Lord, and he prayed for his children. And the implication of that is that Job worshiped with his children. There is family worship that took place regularly in the home of Job. We read of that in the New Testament, in Acts 10. That man Cornelius, who was a Gentile, he feared God with his entire house, we read there, and he prayed to God. He prayed to God with his family. Family worship took place in the home of Cornelius. And we know that there are others who followed Martin Luther. It's well documented how he had a regular family worship in his home. The Scriptures here too encourage us to regular daily family worship, where the Word of God is read and explained and sung and prayed. This family worship is to be led by fathers, usually and normally. They are the ones who make sure that this family worship is conducted. They're the ones who are involved in the reading of the Scriptures, although certainly others in the family may read the Scriptures as well. And the mother and the children may contribute to that family worship and share their insights as well as the Holy Spirit gives them knowledge of the Word. But it's the father who leads the way. He's the one who makes sure that it is done in the home. And he is the one as well who ought to explain the Scriptures to the family
as there are struggles in the home, there are certain things going on. He ought to bring the scriptures to bear on those things that are happening in the home. And a good way in which we conduct our family worship is singing too. Maybe that's not something we often do. Something I know in our own home, we kind of do for a time and then it gets dropped and we have to pick it up again. But how important singing is in the home, that we teach our children to sing. If it's worship, then part of our worship ought to be singing. And we go to God in prayer, bringing before God the needs of the family and the home and the church and the children of the church as well. But now let's see and understand that the texture is calling us to do that regularly, to do that frequently, to do that diligently. It's busy. It's busy in the summertime. It's busy when school's going on. There are all kinds of things going on. But we must not neglect, in all of that busyness, family worship. We must be diligent in this. That's the calling of the text, to lay up the things of the Word in our own hearts and souls as parents, and then teach them to the children in this time of family worship. But this teaching our children the Word is not limited to family worship. But the passage makes very clear that this is what's to be brought to the children throughout the day. Are we doing that? When we are walking by the way, when we're sitting down in the house, are we bringing the Word of God to our children? What happens in the home during the day? Well, there are all kinds of things that happen. There's breakfast, lunch, supper, usually 3 meals a day that are eaten. But in between, there is work to be done, especially in the summer months maybe. There are a list of chores maybe that mom has for you kids. And sometimes maybe it goes like this, I don't feel like doing it today. And so maybe you ignore mom. You don't do the things you're supposed to do, or you complain about doing those things. Maybe in between when you're doing things with your brother or sister, there's some fighting that goes on in those things. Or when mom tells you to do something, you say no, or you argue with her. You come up with all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't do this and why your sister or brother ought to do it. Those are maybe some of the things that go on in our homes. Those are all opportunities for moms and dads to bring the Word of God to address what's going on in the hearts and lives of our children at those moments. There are opportunities to bring the Word of God. This is exactly why the mother must be in the home. It's not because she might miss some of the developmental things of the children. It's because if she's not there, she's missing the opportunities to teach her children the ways of God, what God says in His Word, to teach about sin, but also to teach about grace and forgiveness and the wonderful mercies of God in Jesus Christ. That's the high calling, especially of motherhood, but fathers along with that, that throughout the day, from the beginning to the end, that the Word of God is brought, teaching the things of God, so that our children begin more and more to look at things from the perspective of God's Word. So we must work as parents to have spiritual conversations with our children, that we know where they're at spiritually. That we warn them of the ways of sin, not just responding to sin, but being proactive and teaching them, teaching about sex, teaching about finances, teaching about friendship, teaching about love, loving those even who are unkind to us and who hurt us. To teach the Word of God, then as the need arises, and to give them the hope of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's that full-time calling we have, to bring the Word. And the Word of God says to us this morning, we can expect the blessing of God upon such labor. We can expect that. Verse 21, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. We understand what that blessing is, although there's a warning that goes with it too, doesn't it? It comes out in the verses before and the verses after. If they don't keep the ways of God, things will not go well with them in the land.
is that great warning too. We have to understand what the Word of God is saying here. The blessing is this, in the way of faithfully teaching and instructing, although we do it in much sin, but striving to do that full time with the Word of God. It's not that we and our children will have long life here on this earth. The promise here is about the generations. The line of generations. God will continue to preserve and protect in the line of generations in this way. God says this is a way in which we must walk, and this is what I'm going to do in this way. I'm going to bless. I'm going to save in the line of generations. But now the opposite is true. Where there's unfaithfulness and disobedience, there's a great warning. You're going to have children that, at the very least, are spiritually weak. Because they've not been taught the ways of God when it comes to everyday life. They were left to fend for themselves. They were left to have others teach them, and they weren't taught the right way. And there will be great consequences in the line of generations. There will be straying from the truth of God's Word. There will be. So we must hear that warning of God. God judges such disobedience. But also He blesses in the way of striving to be obedient to this Word of God. In the way of obedience, there will be this blessing. Children walking in the ways of God in the generations. Beloved, one day, as parents, you and I will have to appear before God and give an answer for the work that we did with our children. God's going to say, "What did you do with these children that I gave to you?" Are we going to try to give excuses? Yeah, but for all these bills. Yeah, but it was so hard and it's not fulfilling at all. Changing all those diapers and nights awake up with the kids. I need it out. We're going to give excuses? No, we're going to stand before the living God and know where we've fallen short. We must think about that too. We must give account today and one day before our God. That doesn't take away the reality of His grace and mercy. The blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins, no doubt. But understanding that, understanding the greatness of the task and the greatness of the work to which we are called, we know too we need the grace of God for this work. We do it in much weakness and sin. Not only are children sinners, but we as parents are sinners as well. We can maybe be bothered by the questions of our children. We can be bothered by their disobedience. We wish our children's sanctification went faster and went quicker. We almost wish that they could be self-sanctified children. We lose our tempers maybe sometimes. We get to the end of our ropes and we don't bring the Word of God. We just try to manipulate them to do the things that we want them to do. We easily become focused on our own ease and comfort, which greatly affects our parenting. We need the grace of God so that we would be faithful to this Word. So that we would teach and instruct them full time in the ways of God and with His Word. We need grace to be patient. We need grace to reflect the grace and mercy of God Himself. We need grace that we would not be affected by the world. And that we'd see the seriousness of this high calling to teach our children in God's ways. May God use this very Word to encourage us, as it was meant to do, in this calling that He has given to us to full-time covenant parenting. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this noble duty is a hard labor. We pray this morning for grace for the parents, that they would go forward in this noble duty, teaching and instructing their children in the truth of Thy Word, with the goal that by the power of Thy grace, they would be godly young men and young women, living members of the church, and that they would one day be with us in glory. Give us strength for that work day by day, Father, and especially bless the mothers in that work. What a high calling that is, an important work. Give to them the grace and strength which is needed to do this work for the glory of Thy great name. All this we pray in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, trusting in Him we have forgiveness for all of our sins. Amen.